such an honor to be able to take and watch our young men, young boys grow into young men, and watch them stand behind this pulpit and speak to us. And it's just such an honor. On our Father's Day, we did this on our Mother's Day, and it was just, actually, don't we have a video? Am I missing the, we're just like way off here. You see, this is what happens. One mistake just goes into another. So you know what? We're going to all sit down. We'll do this again the third time. Well, man, some of us, we've grown up. Some of us, we've growed out. Al Lutzgraf, you've changed, bro. I'm like, oh, my goodness. All right, we'll get this right this time. Brother Roman, you ready to come preach to us this morning, brother? All right.
So last time I was up, this is a story about my dad here. So last time I was up, as soon as I got done, I thought I did good, you know, kind of happy. And so my dad's like, you know what you did wrong? He told me this story about how I need to, like, think about what I'm saying before I say it and stuff like that. So thank you for the pastoral staff letting me preach again. I thought that was kind of like a rookie season back there. But kidding aside, I'm going to get into this. So a lot of things that we take for granted are our fathers. They're very good. They're very nice. They provide for us. And there's so much negativity in this world that it can help. It can sometimes corrupt something that we love. And the definition of a father is a man that is related to his natural child or children. I don't really think that's the real definition, to tell you the truth. And I think that we need to really honor them and stuff. Like, yeah, never mind. So in Proverbs 22:6, it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. One of the main reasons that families crumble is because they don't have a father to truly raise them up. Today in the modern day, you can't go around in any public place without seeing something that God doesn't want you to see. And those things can get in our lives, interfere with our whole entire family. It's one of the, yeah. So, another thing that tempts fathers is temptations, obviously, such as betting, drinking, smoking, and not following God. And next I'm going to speak about preventing these temptations in one verse. So it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. You see, church, God is always providing a way out of those temptations. It's just seeing if we're going to take them. So I encourage every father here, you've all done good, great job bringing your kids to church today and stuff like that. So thank you, and happy Father's Day.
I want to clarify a few things. Are you worried I'm going to fall into temptation?
No, I'm not worried about that, surprisingly.
All right. After I heard the alcohol, drugs, walking around, looking at horrible things, wondering, man, Roman, you don't have a lot of confidence in your father. But I'll take your words, I'll heed them. to be a better father and not yield to temptation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you do a good job? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I was getting worried there. I was like, man, Roman. You know. But anyways, I wasn't really worried. But so last time I preached, somebody said to me, you know, Blake, thanks for offending all the Catholics. And so we did this purposely so you're comfortable. Because somebody said they're going to hold up a bingo card next time I preach. So, okay, let's see what letter we get. Or number. I don't even know what bingo is. Number 23. B23. Bingo, you got bingo? So anyways, I just wanted to say that. Really has nothing to do with my message. But you know, the things that go on at church, I say this in my 201 class, you know, if you're looking for the perfect church, you know, I always say this, don't join it because you'll ruin it. You know, you can tell we try hard. We have a lot of things going on here. But surprisingly enough, all our imperfections fit directly into my message tonight. And my message is imperfect fathers. You know, I'd like to stand here and say that I am a perfect father, but I would be lying to you. Really, I would be. I am not a perfect father. I try my best with the help of the Lord, and I'm sure Roman probably has seen me fail many times as a father, but, you know, I do get back up and keep trying. Amen? And if you're under my voice today, you probably can think back, although we ran through all these pictures and stuff, you know, that your father himself probably wasn't perfect. You probably saw his limitations as a man. You probably saw his failures. You probably saw him lose his temper. You probably saw the weight of the burden of responsibility upon him, crush him, knock him down. And you could judge him if you want, but he's just a man. You know, the divorce rate in America is, you know, this, if you believe these statistics, is 50%. Probably the marriages that maybe still held together are maybe another 10, 20%. And then even in the most perfect marriages, those fathers probably aren't perfect. So you're probably sitting here, probably more than likely the odds are you had an imperfect father. You know, my dad, you know, most of this message, the reason I was late getting here is my wife was telling me, well, first of all, let me set one record straight. Most of the credit for raising my children goes to my wife. Amen. My wife is a great mother to her children. She works tirelessly. She prays for them. She sacrifices for them. And I can't say enough about Sarah and her sacrifice for our children. So my wife is perfect. So even though I'm talking about imperfect fathers, my wife is perfect. Let's just make that clear. So I'm imperfect in many ways. I know it's probably, you say, oh, but you're speaking today. You know, we want the perfect father speaking. I'm just trying to tell you there's only one perfect father. Amen? And let's turn to Leviticus chapter 5, verses, starting with verse 6. And I know this probably isn't it's unusual Father's Day scripture, but, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he have committed two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall he wring out at the bottom of the altar, for it is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. Now here's the important. But if he is not able to bring those two turtle doves, which mean, or even the lamb or the kid, or these two young pigeons, then he that has sinned shall bring forth his offering, the tenth part of an ephah, or of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, which is what happened today. We brought out the steaks, and Roy and Pastor Grant took their portion. Amen? We're all trying to keep all things biblical here today. And the priest shall take a handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this day and all things in it. We thank you, Lord, that you are great and mighty and a perfect Father, and that we can, Lord, be changed. I mean, changed by your presence, changed by your word, and changed just by the fellowship of brothers and sisters. And we ask you to anoint this word in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you guys didn't stand, because you know I don't let people stand when I preach, because my knees are bad, which is not true. But anyways, an ephah is, it's 92.99 cups. And this is a cup. So an ephah would be 93 of these, roughly. Now we're taking one-tenth of an ephah, which means that if we had a tenth of it, be a cup, or nine cups, I should say. But when you bring these things to the Lord, it's not in comparison to others who would have come, and this is the amount of a cup. It's not the same thing. This is a man or a woman who, or specifically a man, because women were not permitted at that time to offer the sin offering, but a man would come for his family. And if you think about it, giving an offering to the Lord was probably a little bit like today. There's a lot of excitement because this is a time you present yourself before the Lord, before the priest. It's a time for you to be forgiven of your sins. It's a time to be washed, not with the blood of Jesus Christ, but that our sins would be rolled ahead. But there were people that came with their goats, their kids, and they came into the temple, and they were blessed to have a flock. They were blessed to have something to give to the Lord. And that's how people worship the Lord. But then if you weren't so lucky to have goats and kids and a flock of sheep, you had to bring a turtle dove, two turtle doves. And if you were even less fortunate than that, you had to bring in a pigeon. But even if you were less fortunate than all of that, you had to bring in some flour. And the interesting thing about repentance and offerings before the Lord was it really caused you to think of where you're really at. You know, you could see these other families coming in with their goats and kids, and you knew they were blessed of the Lord. You came in, and maybe you could do some pigeons. You know, maybe you could do, you know, you had them in a cage, and they were fluttering about, and people noticed that you had a pigeon, that you had a turtle dove. And they say, you'd say, oh, you noticed that the fluttering of the bird. But then if you weren't so fortunate, you just brought in flour. And you knew you were not so well blessed of the Lord. And my wife spoke to me today, and I was late getting here, and I forgot my tie, even though I don't like wearing ties, thank God. But I forgot my tie, my dad used to say why he never understood why anybody wanted to strangle themselves all day long. And then why you want to give your father a tie and strangle him. But anyways, and then we have a tie sitting up there for Happy Father's Day. So, but this is the kind of stuff that goes through my mind. I apologize. But you knew things weren't perfect for you, okay? You knew that you weren't part of the families that had the lamb and the goats or the turtle doves or the pigeons. You knew that you were on the bottom of the ladder. And my wife told me today, I was asking her, she never looked forward, surprising. She's being just raw and honest with me. She never looked forward to this specific service. Now, my wife, if you know her, she loves this church. She sacrifices for this church. She gives her all for this church. She's here in the morning praying. So let me not, my honesty, let it not be a reflection on our church, okay? But she never looked forward to this service, ever. She didn't want to be one of the kids that went up to get a screwdriver for her father or a hammer we used to give out. If you remember, we used to give everybody a gift. You know, we should go back to that, especially when we have the meat offerings. But just a thought. Just a thought. And the other thing I noticed while I was sitting here, if you never thought that you weren't blessed by sitting in the front, today God spoke. Okay? Matt Moran, Nikowski, Jay, Roberto, amen? So, did God speak today and tell you to sit up front? Okay. So that's where the blessings are, where the glory and the meat flows out. Amen. But if I lost track of where that, as I was talking about, but it was a situation where you really knew exactly where you're at. My wife, in particular, and this is what caused me to change my whole entire sermon from where I was going and why I was 13 minutes late getting here. Because my wife started telling me other people, surprisingly, don't look at this service. Now, I know the reason we have this service is to honor fathers. And I know that some of you are doing a great job. And I know you're raising your children in the fear of the Lord. But there are those that sit amongst us that they don't even have a father. There's children in this congregation that don't have a father. Or they have they have a father, but that father is a absentee father, right? And some of these are young women, young girls in our church, young men. They're just imperfect situations. And unfortunately, this day may not be a day of celebration for them. Their father's not here. They may never see their father. And then we have mothers, I know, because I wished one mother Happy Father's Day, and she said, what? And I said, well, it's your day too. You're the father of that child. Amen. And you may have an imperfect father, and you know what's really hard when you have an imperfect father is honoring that father today. Seriously. You could bite your lip today or your tongue and say, I'm not going to honor that, whatever you want to call him, bad father. Right? It's hard to honor somebody who fails their duties, shirks their responsibility, doesn't show up to the baseball game, isn't there when you skin your knee and doesn't dust you off when you fall down. But yet, like my son said, they just are your father. And there's a bond there, and it hurts deep to the core when that father isn't a father. Some of you, you know, when that you get hurt like that, you hurt yourself in order to prove a point, in order to hurt your father, your earthly father. You don't think that's true? People do it all the time. I'm going to marry this guy. He's the exact opposite of my father. He's a diehard Democrat. I'm just teasing. Hopefully that, and you realize, you know, I'm going to make my father angry. I'm going to get his attention. I'm going to rub it in his face. You don't realize the consequences of some of your decisions. even though you're trying to hurt your father, you're not helping yourself. I know that's a complex thing because your father hurt you or failed. And I know people do it all the time, and they live their whole entire lives trying to hurt their father for being a failure of a father. And they hurt their lives. Now, maybe you're an imperfect father. Well, as Brother Hawk said, welcome to the club. I'm an imperfect father. And, you know, sometimes you got to confess your faults. You know, I lose my temper with my children. It's the worst thing ever. Luther dropped the fries for the 100th time in my car. And I got out of McDonald's and I'm like, how many times must you drop those French fries? Yes, he did. It's a true story. But and a couple hundred drinks at the restaurant, which, you know, I remember going out to eat. I'm like, you know, waitress, just put a towel here. You know, my kids are going to knock over the water five times. You're going to earn it. Here's a $100 bill for your efforts that just started. And I'd lose my temper. Like, how many times do you have to spill the water? Oh, you know, but I get angry about it, which is, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But, you know, I'm not a perfect father. There's times where just things you do, things your father, my father did that I do, and they're ingrained in you. But, you know, if we're going to do anything today, let's use today for change. Amen? In some ways, God can touch you miraculously and just change you. It's happened for many of you that come to this church, that God reached down and touched you. You were addicted to drugs, and you're no longer addicted to drugs. God reached down. You were struggling with alcohol. You were struggling with sexual sin. You were struggling with so many things, and God touched you, cigarettes, and you walked out, and you never smoked a cigarette again. And that is the miraculous power of our God. But sometimes, and probably most times, God wants you, as he did with the children of Israel, where he said, you're not going to take the land, or I'm just not going to give it to you, because you won't appreciate it. And unfortunately, there is sometimes with God just, for lack of a better word, appreciated change, where you've got to do it. You've got to make the step. You've got to make the effort. Now, if you're in the fourth category where you have this great father or one that is at least really trying really hard, then today you should give him double honor. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor's due. So if you have a great father and you know he's trying hard and you know he's praying and despite the things that he fails, you should honor your father. Amen? So those are the people, like in the book of Leviticus, that they could today they could bring a lamb. Today, they can bring something onto God and honor God because they have a great father. And many of you that I know are great fathers. Amen. That my son knows because I tell my son that this is a man we're going to listen to in our family. This is a man, that this person here, we're going to follow their example. This is somebody who's got a pure heart, Roman, and we want to get behind them. And that would be our pastoral staff. Amen? And we give them honor. You can give them a hand clap. Hallelujah. But if you don't have a father who's like a lamb or who's even in the allegory of a turtle dove or a pigeon, then all you have is this. It's all you got. And that's hard because today is not a day where you get real excited. This is all you got. That's it. You come in here and say, I don't have a father. In fact, the father I got is horrible. In fact, the father I got, and this is affecting my life, and it's ruining my life. So all you got is a hand of flour. You don't have a lamb. You don't have a turtle dove. All you have is a hand of flour. Well, you can make a decision to change that today. You can make a decision to appeal to your heavenly Father. These are not trite words. I know it's hard when people say, well, if you don't have a father, you got a heavenly Father. And those are hard words because God's not tangible in the sense of a father who is there sitting there talking to you. And I know a lot of you, people have said those words to you. And it falls on a heavy heart. It's easy words to say. But it's easy for me to say it. It's harder for you to live it. And so you look at it and you hold it and you say, this is all I got. I don't have a father. I don't have someone. But you do have a heavenly Father, and we're going to talk more about that. But let me shift gears a bit here. If you are here as a father and you're kind of an imperfect father, there are some things you can change today. You can just make some very simple changes and be a better father. Now, I always say this. I'm going to just give you some of the things that I try to raise my children by. One is there's no such thing as quality time. It's just time. Whipping your kids off to McDonald's and the Playland and then handing them back over to their baby's mama is a joke. I'm just going to say it. It's a flat-out joke. Taking them to Disney World and then shirking your responsibilities is a joke. You got to give time, which means you got to sacrifice the things you're doing. Put them down and just spend some time with your kids. The thing, amen, deserves a clap. My daughter loves to play the most ridiculous little game. It's called Pop. It's just a little thing of popcorn and you pull out words. She could just as soon play that all day long, memory. She just wants me sitting there playing that game with her. That's it. That's time. You know, my kids, they're most comfortable when I'm just in the house, right? When I'm just around. Amen? But, you know, like there was a saying that says, sometimes success in life is just showing up. Well, let me say something to you about being a father. Sometimes being a successful father is just showing up. So show up. Amen? Just be present because it creates a peace of mind in your children. And the one thing children need in this world, you heard Romans say it, they need security. It's a tough world out there. They just need the peace of mind that you're there. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be the perfect father. Did you hear me say anything about perfection? I just said show up. Be present. Sometimes you're going to have to discipline your children. I am not a good disciplinarian, okay? I think I spanked, well, Roman's a great kid. I think I spanked him like, what, once? Twice? So you're going to have to discipline your children. And I always say if you discipline your children, in my case, you know, it's this much. In Sarah's case, it's this much. But the thing that I found hardest, it depends on the child. You know, Roman is a great child, and my other two kids are incredible children, but unfortunately, they need more discipline. But the thing about that is, if you're punishing this much, you got to love that much, right? So Roman doesn't get a lot of love because he's well-being. Just kidding. Because he's well-behaved. Just kidding. But you do have to give more love to a child that is getting more discipline. Does that make sense? Because you got to counterbalance that. All right? So the other thing, if you probably figured this out by Mr. Comedian there, you have to be able to laugh in your family and laugh often. You know, I married a friend of mine, and I said, he said, if you find something that makes you laugh, marry it. Amen? Because laughter is going to get you through a lot of things in life. And I can tell you this, just one little piece of marital. If you've quit laughing, you got problems in your marriage. You got to laugh. And when I'll give you some parental. When Roman used to throw a temper tantrum, now believe it, he's as mild-mannered as he is, he used to throw some temper tantrums. And we would laugh in his face and fall on the floor laughing. We used to say, and then he'd start laughing. This is when he was little, the terrible twos, if you remember them. No point getting yourself all worked up over a two-year-old running your life. You know, laugh about it. And the one thing for sure in our family, you do have to be able to make fun of yourself. And so in our house, if you can believe this, most of the jokes are about me. My kids love to make fun of me, and we do love to laugh, and there are a lot of things to make fun of and laugh about, but we have a great time. But it has to be, you have to create an environment and a home of laughter. The one thing you can do is try to make your home a home of laughter. But not just creating a home of laughter, you have to create a home. And there's a difference between having a house and having a home. It's a big difference. This has to be, as I said earlier about showing up, this has to be a safe place. It's a place where if your kids fail, they can come home, right? If my kids fail and they're going to fail, I want to be the one that helps correct them, that tells them that, hey, things get better tomorrow. But some kids don't have that. They don't have anybody to help them when life's failures hit them. It's a place of rest. The one thing I always remember about going into godly homes when I first came here was how much I walk in and how peaceful and restful these homes were. I never could put my finger on it till I really gave myself to God, because they were houses of prayer. They were a place where the presence, you remember the apostles said, if this place won't take your word, shake off your feet. But if they do take your word, let my spirit rest upon this home. And that's a real thing. That's not hokiness, that's not, but the presence of the Lord would rest upon your home. And it's a place that you can talk, communicate. If there's anything more I want is my kids talking to me about everything, about the things they're facing, about the things they're doing, about the places they're going, the people they're with. I want them to talk, and it has to be a safe place for them to talk. This home has to be a godly place, because it is, as the saying goes, monkey see, monkey do. If they see things, hear things, taste things, smell things, go things, they will do them. And I know that's a high bar, but it's the truth. That home has to be a place of prayer. And if you ever want a model church, it's going to be modeled in your home, period. It's going to start with, if we respect authority, we're going to respect our pastors, right? And if we want to be respected as parents, we have to show respect to people over top of us, right? So, if you have a problem, I always say this, with the pastoral staff, I hate to say this, be a man and go talk to your pastor. Because actually it's what the Bible says. Don't talk about it in front of your children. I mean, that's just a cop-out. I mean, I know this isn't fun, but the truth is, if I have something I got to talk about, they're never comfortable situations, but talk to your pastor. And I really appreciate what Roy said. If you're confused about something, email your pastor. A lot of things are just common confusion. And sometimes things with your pastor are just that. They're misunderstandings. But you're moving the peace of God out of your home if you don't take the initiative to just go meet with your pastor. Say, hey, I might have misunderstood this. I might have seen something and I heard something, but I could be wrong, right? start that way. Start with, hey, I might be wrong. Could you help me? Let's meet. Let's talk. But don't talk about the pastor or the church in your home, because you're supposed to be modeling the church. You're supposed to be showing your children how God really works. The other thing about your home, it has to be a place to dream. Don't be a dream crusher. Seriously. Don't crush your kids' dreams. You know, I mean, if your kid says, I think I want to be a barista. Now, you may think that's stupid, and you might say, well, they don't make no money, and you're going to be sitting there working at Starbucks. Don't crush their dream. They're speaking from their reference. It's a simple reference. You know, my daughter wants to be a barista, okay? Probably because her mother goes to Starbucks too often. So she probably equates, like, oh, that person in the window, they bring happiness to my mother. All they do is reach their arm out in Jesus' name, be ye healed. So that's probably why my daughter wants to be a barista. Mom, please go to Starbucks. Your happy place. So don't be a dream crusher. Provide them the opportunity to become something. Everybody, you know, everybody wants their boys to be preachers or teachers. But first of all, you know, before you go making a preacher out of them, make a Christian out of them. Amen? You know, there's plenty of you that do great things. You never get up here behind the pulpit, but you work hard. You pay your tithes to this church, and you do great things for this church. And your kids should admire you for that. That, amen? You do something honorable every day. But let your kids provide them the opportunity. You know what? Jesus said, I am with you always. And that's what your kids have to know, that you have their back. I say it all the time. Roman, no matter what happens, I'm here. Right? I am here. I'm present. I'm here. And I am with you. And I think that's what God, our Heavenly Father, said. So go ye forth. It's not that hard. Go out with anointing and preach the gospel and do what I command you to do. And I am with you always. He said that to the nation of Israel. And the one thing my dad, probably the best piece of advice he gave me when I first started my family, he said, Blake, there is all kinds of different families. There's musical families. There's camping families. There's families that enjoy working on their boats. There's fishing family. There's hunting family. They're all different. But don't criticize them. You know what I mean? You got families that just love to entertain, play games, and have people over, and they may never go to baseball. There's baseball families. There's sports families. There's all different. There's rodeo families for Brad. I'm just kidding. I like the rodeo too. So, but there are families. Don't be yourself and enjoy being a family. If you go to the rodeo together, if you go camping together, whatever you do, do it together and enjoy it. Amen? Amen. Now, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names, that is the biggest lie known to mankind. Words matter, and so does touch matter. In a society where we have sexual predators and we have such sexualization of the world, people don't understand what really truly normal touch is. Does that make sense? Now, Roman, you're just going to have to sit up here and take it. So, sorry. I say all the time to Roman, I love you. And I expect a response back, right? Dad, I love you too. Because when you have to verbalize those words, it means something coming from the heart. So you can't come up to this altar and in your mind say, Jesus, I'm sorry for all the things I've done. You can't do that. The Bible says confession is made with the mouth. So you have to speak to your children, and you have to speak into your children. Now, the other thing that's important, just as much as words matter and touch matters, is eye contact. We say it all the time, look at me. So sometimes I have to hold Roman's face and say, I love you, Roman. You know, but it matters because you're being honest. The eyes, the look. There's a whole thing about integrity when a person stands up and looks you in the eye and takes responsibility for who they are and what they say. In our home, which Roman will know this, truth is paramount. And what I mean by truth, I mean we do not lie. If we do something wrong, we say it. We man up or woman up, and we take the punishment, right? And better days come. I always say that. I'm not gonna be angry forever, and I'm not gonna punish you forever. But you did wrong, and you need to be punished. Or if you lie, you can't lie anymore. The other thing that we do is we talk to our kids as adults. At least, as soon as they are able to talk, we don't talk down to our kids. We address them as adults. Now, I don't talk about the Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, but we talk about things that matter to them. And the other thing is we tell them that, hey, life is tough. I mean, it's not going to be cherries all the time. And you got to handle things yourself, and we got to help you handle them. Now, the thing I say about touch is you can never give too many hugs inside your family. I say that because some of you go around hugging people all the time, and it makes me uncomfortable. I'm like Donald Trump. Don't touch me. I'm just kidding. Some of you are huggers. That's okay. I'm not. I'll shake your hand. It's good to see you, brother. But in your family, you can't hug too much, right? You got to put your arm around people. You got to tell your kids you love them. And it certainly helps, specifically with daughters. I find that if I'm touching my daughter and I tell her I love you, that I'm doing two things. I'm telling her that, A, that it's right to be touched, followed by someone saying I love you. If there ain't no love you foul on that, you ain't going to be touching my daughter. Amen? Just saying. Because you know what we're trying to tell these people, our little people? We're trying to tell them what's appropriate. The world, like my son said, and I think this is where he was going, you're going to get nothing appropriate out of the world to raise your children. Zero. So you're going to have to model it in your home. You're going to have to create a home. You're going to have to do these things. And by the way, this church is not going to raise your children. Now let me say this. This is the most incredible church. If you want to send your kids to Sunday school and you want them to feel the presence of the Lord and you want to do all this, but if you truly, truly think that you can shirk your responsibility as a parent and have the church raise them, your kids are not going to make it. And you say, well, why is that? Isn't this a great church, Brother George? Because you are modeling behavior that is not appropriate. You're trying to say to them that when you are home and there is no pastor over top of you and when there is no preaching of the word, we still live for God. Do you understand that slight change there? It's more important when you're home to live for God than it is when you're sitting under my voice. It's easy. You're all in your suits. You all look nice. You all get up and worship, and you dance around, and the word of God gets preached, and you come up here and you repent. You know, to be frank with you, that's the easy part. But when you leave, and like Roman said, when you're tempted, are you able to fight off temptation? When you're at home and nobody is looking, are you able to live it? That's the hard part. So don't ever think that the church is going to raise your children. They're going to help. And if you can get behind the pastoral staff and you can do this, they will help you dramatically. I can't say enough about what the church has done for my children. But we got to model it at home. Amen. So You, this is my last point, you have to be the adult. Okay? You are in charge. You're responsible. That's sometimes hard for parents to realize. I am responsible. I'm the adult here. So you have to explain the hard things that happened in the world with love. Why are people mean? Why do people bully? Why does this hurt? Why, like Roy said, why is this, I don't understand the scripture, but you have to be the adult. You have to be the responsible. And the other thing about just being present, if you're not there, you can't give guidance. Remember, like I said about Roman's sermon, that was just guidance. Roman, that was guidance. I wasn't being critical. So, but you have to be present to give guidance. So if you can stand with me, I don't want to keep going. Not everyone here today, like I said, had a father. Or if you did, they may have been a horrible father. They may have been less than an average father. Or you might be a single mother. Or a single father. Or a divorced father. Feeling probably less than perfect as a father because you wanted to have a marriage that worked and it didn't work. But despite all this, we can make one thing happen today, and that is we can start to change all that. Amen? Now, God gave me this. This is the first thing he gave me, and then I rewrote this entire sermon. But I want to say a Father's Day prayer. Amen? So I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to say it from a little different perspective. My Father in heaven, I know it's our Father. I'm not trying to misquote this, but my Father in heaven, first, you got to acknowledge God. If you want to get anywhere with God, you got to acknowledge that he exists. Hallowed be your name. And what that is respect. Lord, I acknowledge you, and I respect you. Maybe I don't respect my earthly father, but I respect you, God. I respect you, Jesus. Your kingdom come. You know what that means? Bring it on. Let change come in my life, whatever it takes. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom. Not the way I see things currently, but Lord, change some things in my life. Then it is your will be done. You got to give in to God. Just the way it is. God, I acknowledge you. I respect you. I want change. And this change I'm going to give in to because your will be done. Let it be on earth, which really means let it be in my situation. My situation isn't perfect. My situation isn't the best. I don't have an earthly father. My father isn't worthy of double honor today. But you know what? Where it is perfect, as it is in heaven, amen, so let it be in my life today. Give us this day our daily bread. And what that really means today for some of you is let's just take that first step of change. Just today. Lord, I'm not a perfect father. Lord, I don't have perfect. But today, let there be a change in my life. Forgive us our debts. That means, Lord, I have done some things that I'm not happy about. I have been angry at my earthly father. I don't like the guy. He's not a good guy. He wasn't a good dad. But you know what? I'm wrong, too. Remember I said that? Sometimes you just got to say, maybe I'm wrong. And also, as we forgive our debtors, you're going to have to, unfortunately, forgive that earthly father that just wasn't a good dad. That is so hard. And for some of you, I can't even fathom how hard that is for you. But you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to say, Lord, I forgive him. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You know what that's really saying, Lord? Despite all the things that I have to forgive, but Lord, don't let me act out in anger. Deliver me from evil. You know what it really means? Deliver me from my own actions. You know, Lord, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to go to Father's Day and yell at my father. I don't want to not be able to give my kids an answer or be temperamental or have a short temper, but deliver me from myself. And many times that's the prayer I pray. Lord, it is myself that I'm fighting. It's not even the evil in the world. It's just the imperfections of Blake George. But change requires a first step. So I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat if you want to change. And sometimes that's just, and I'm not saying if you step out of your seat, let me be clear, you're not a bad father, okay? If you want to change your relationship with your earthly father, please come forward. If you want to change and be just a better father and be the best person, please come forward. But you're going to have to open your mouth, and you're going to have to open your heart. And you're going to have to say to God, I want to change. Lord, I want my earthly father to change. I want my relationship to change with him or her. I want to be the person that changes. If you're a father that wants to change your relationship with your daughter, you're going to have to say, Lord, help me to change my relationship with my estranged daughter. Help me today, Lord, to be a better father. Help me today to rekindle those relationships. Help me today to fix these things. And ultimately, in the end, you just got to let go and let God. I can't explain it any easier. You're going to have to take your 1/10 of your ephah, and you're going to have to let it go of it, and then you're going to have to let God make something brand new of it all. You're going to have to come up and say, Lord, take this offering, take this life, take these things, Lord, and change them. And do what only you can do, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, you are the perfect Father. You are a heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, you are the greatest thing that has ever happened to any one of us, Lord. But God, can we be more like you today? Can we be somebody different today, Lord? Isa mahala kodre man mo, Lord. Yela mahasha ko, Lord. Amen. Lo maholo kodre banala ma, Lord. And you ladies that are estranged from your father, if your father is not here today, I'm asking you to come up. If your father is not here, and you're one of these young women or older women that are hurting in your heart, then come on up to this altar and ask God, say, God, change my father that I'm estranged from. Help me to reach him. Amen. And I'm going to pray, Lord, I pray for every woman under my voice, Lord, whose relationship with her father is not perfect, Lord. And I pray by the hand of God and by the grace of God that those relationships would be changed, Lord. That they would find peace in their heart, Lord. They would find, Lord, an anointing in their life, Lord.